Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Do you like boutique effects? Do you like British-built boutique effects? Then you'll love Tate FX. A British-built boutique effects brand who make brilliant little boxes for your board, utilizing the best components available and producing a small but, well, tailored range of sonic devices, Tate FX might just be the next effects you've been looking for. Check them out, tateeffects.co.uk. Welcome to the 198th episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the first episode of 2019. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Mark Packham.
Bang, lyrical blow to the jaw.
And Jay Cross.
Are you going to be this enthusiastic all year? Because I'm not sure I can handle it.
No, there was just, you know, actually there was quite a lot of mic clipping going on.
Yeah, I did notice.
I was quite enthusiastic.
That's what happens when you do sound check, but you don't give it your all.
Yeah, I should have given it my all. Anyway, dear listener.
Whenever I do sound check with a band, people always get annoyed because I yell really loudly into the microphone. But it's like, that's because, how loud it's going to be. Yeah. That's how loud it's going to be.
You are a yeller.
Yellow-bellied. Yellow-bellied coward.
So, dear listener, welcome. Welcome to the start of 2019's Guitar Nerds Podcast. And my goodness, there's lots of things happening. Because NAMM is round the corner. WNAMM.
I can't believe it.
WNAMM 2019.
It's in 2 weeks. What day is it today? Today's Monday.
Yes.
I'm flying in one... Less than 2 weeks.
I've got a question.
I'll be there 2 weeks today in California.
What was the question,
well,
Mark?
Next week, episode 199.
Yep. Yes.
199?
Week after, episode 200.
No, it's not. It's not it's not episode
NAMM
200.
Special.
No, it's the NAMM special.
How are we doing the NAMM? I don't think we've even talked about this.
No, yeah, what we're going to do is all the NAMM episodes don't have episode numbers. They're called NAMM specials. It means that we can hold off episode 200.
How many NAMM episodes are we doing?
I don't like this. We did this during Gear of the Year, even though previous Gear of the Year episodes have been numbered.
No, but that's because
we realized that Gear of the Year would have fallen over episode 200 and we wanted to do something special for episode 200. However, we then realized that... A couple of us are going to be away for NAMM on episode 200. And so, even by pushing it back for a week, we're going to be podcasting on the day that I get home from NAMM.
Yes.
Which will be episode 200. Which is also the day of the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, which obviously we're not podcasting on that day.
Guitar Nerds quiz. Listener, what do you think? Let us know on the Facebook group, facebook.com/Guitar Nerds groups. What do you think we should do for episode 200? Should it be a Guitar Nerds Royal Rumble? Should it be a Guitar Nerds quiz?
I've got a brilliant new quiz that I've stolen from the...
I don't believe you.
Honestly, it's
your
great.
Your quizzes are always
stolen from who?
It's a new style quiz. Stolen from the IGN podcast, which is something that I listen to, which is cool.
Intergalactic moron.
Yes. N
planetary.
What they do on the game is they do like how many can you name? So I would say like
I 10 10.
Joe Branton.
Yes.
Electroharmonics compressors, how many can you name? And then if you say 5.
Oh, this game is called...
how many can you name?
No, it's not. It's called Arrogance. And I play it at the pub
often. You should be
often.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's great. it's great. I'm always annoyed with the name of it because if the idea is that you name an amount that you maybe can't name, well, then that's not arrogance. That's pomposity. So the name of the game is incorrect.
Arrogant.
Why don't we do a quick round now just to try it?
No.
Electroharmonics compressors, how many can you name, Joe Brown?
One. Two.
J-Cross, do I hear 3?
No.
Oh, can you name the 2?
White finger, black finger.
Oh, no, I can't even remember.
No, you don't get to play
tone
now.
Tone corset.
You don't get to play now.
No, you're out. You're out.
Joe Branton wins that round.
I win that round. 1 point for me,
what
J-Cross.
If I'd also said 2?
You can't say 2. You've got
eat
to go one
my
more.
Dirt.
Or you
wear
could,
one more.
You could be crazy and go 7. You could really.
But then, would someone else go 8? And then they wouldn't be able to name 8, but you'd be like, yes. It's like Poker Face. Not the song.
Poker Face. Mow.
Really likes that film that she was in recently.
Didn't watch it.
Excellent range of guitars played by that fellow. What's his
Bradley
name?
Cooper.
Bradley Cooper. Did you see the
I keep thinking
lovely...
it's Hugh Jackman, but it's not. He's in all the other films that have come out recently.
Olive Green Drab 335. Oh,
Drab Olive.
I tell you what, Gibson.
Is it the...
Gibson got some nice instruments into that
Chris...
film. Novoselic.
No, Chris... Soundgarden. Chris
Soundgarden.
Wolfman Cutbusson.
Chris... Cornell. Chris Cornell. Is it the Chris Cornell signature?
No.
That's Olive Drab.
Is it? Oh, it might be the Chris Cornell signature.
I think it had TV Jones in it, though.
Oh, yeah, probably. I doubt it was the Chris Cornell.
It did have TV Jones in it.
It did have TV Jones.
Very lovely. What a lovely instrument. Well done, Gibson, actually getting some good guitars into her. Do you know what I was watching the other day on Netflix?
Hot Girls Wanted.
Is that a show on Netflix?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, no, I wasn't watching that. I only watch quality
Here we go.
So
here
I was
go.
Watching the Taylor Swift live
okay,
show on Netflix, and she has an excellent sparkle green
Jaguar
jumbo.
Oh, okay. Because she had been playing a Johnny Marr Jag.
Oh no, yeah, but
recently.
But I thought she would be playing a Taylor Swift, but she wasn't. She's playing a Gibson.
It's not really stage worthy, is it?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, Ed Sheeran plays his. Little
does he, he's not really stage worthy, is he? But you know, Taylor Swift, on the other hand, sparkle green jumbo. Oh, it looked great.
Talking about things on streaming services and not being stage worthy.
Oh my
last
gosh.
Night,
oh, wait, no,
last night,
you.
Ella was making some dinner, and I was like, I'm going to find something for us to watch on Amazon. And for some reason, I stumbled across Kiss Live in Vegas. Kiss are rubbish. They're what a bad band.
Be careful. I recently stated that I didn't like Dave Grohl and everyone lost their mind.
You got mullered.
Yeah.
Got absolutely mullered on the Facebook.
I thought what you were about to talk about was the Bross documentary.
No.
Have you seen this, Joe? The Bross documentary?
No, but Mark Hackham literally won't talk to me
Mate,
about anything
honestly,
else. So even though I haven't watched it, I feel like I have.
So to any listeners who... don't know what we're talking about. There is a documentary on the BBC at the moment. It's on the BBC iPlayer, which I think you can access from outside.
In America?
I'm not sure you can.
No, I don't think you can. Like, we can't watch Saturday Night Live. They can't watch the BBC iPlayer.
It's not like the trade embargo.
Oh, it is. It's exactly
it
that.
Right, okay.
They're holding SNL to ransom unless we let the iPlayer go.
anyway, there was a British pop band called... Bross, who were made up of two brothers, whose last name...
Well, surely then, they're called Bros.
I thought it's Bros.
No,
yeah.
It's Bross. And
like Moss Bross.
Yes, like Moss Bross. But what is more confusing then is that their last name is Goss.
Oh. So they're the Bross.
Which is why they're Bross.
They're the Goss Bross.
The Goss Bross. And there was also another fella in the band, but they never talk about him in the documentary at all. Anyway... the documentary is called After the Screaming Has Stopped.
After the Screaming Stops.
Goodness. After the Screaming Stops. And basically, it's kind of set
sounds
up...
sounds like a horror movie.
It's kind of set up like, this is what happens to people who are in bands when they stop being in bands. Because they were hugely famous at the time.
Oh, so when the screaming stops isn't referring to some sort of dark...
No.
It's not like removing the clamps.
Crikey. No, it's more like...
supposed to be the clean podcast, Mark Beckham.
Child-friendly podcast.
It's more like, oh, you're not in a famous band anymore. We don't care about you. And the whole thing about it is it's so... the two fellas were obviously so institutionalized by the music industry that they were just, as far as I can tell, they were basically just surrounded by people saying yes to them constantly from the age of like 19. Like they headlined Wembley Stadium when they were 20.
I've never heard of them.
Their big song was
When Will I Be Famous?
You'll definitely recognize it. But anyway, it's like
When Will I Be Famous?
Yeah, again. That's how it goes. Keep going.
Yes.
It's like an episode of The Office.
Right.
It's so...
The English Office, not the American Office.
Yeah. No, I would say it's more like
the American one, not funny.
So rubbish.
As opposed to funny.
It's really weird. It's good, though. It's a really good watch. It's a great insight into... And they seem like... When I first started watching it, I was like, I'm going to really dislike these fellas by the end of it because they are just a little bit... I don't know, but I came away from it thinking, no, they're like really nice, genuine people. They just...
Right.
It's really worth a watch. Really worth a watch. It's really good. It's just mad.
Yeah.
The whole way through is mad. And it, honestly, there are parts of it where you think it's scripted.
What guitars do they play?
At one point, he's playing a custom shop Gold Sparkle Telly.
Yep.
In there quite a lot.
Oh, I have that.
The bass player's got some sort of custom shop 5-string.
Oh, yeah, you'll be well standard. Into that. Standard.
Not Fender custom shop, just like a custom shop.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Bass. Yeah, so a weird boutique.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've been thinking about moving to 5-string.
Of course.
But with a high C.
Hit that high C.
You had that opportunity to buy that Fender 5.
I've been looking around for one.
But you had the haven't
there, wasn't there any like 20?
Not a lot. I think there are less than a few thousand sort of thing. Most of them are in the States as well. I found one. There's one on Reverb, but it's too much money.
Mark, you work for Reverb. Can you get him stuff discount?
I'll just turn it down a bit.
Yeah. Thanks, mate.
Just turn the price down.
Cheers. Yeah.
Just so it works like a tap.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a price knob. You just turn indeed. That price knob down.
Price knob.
Turn the knob down.
Anyway, before we... there is tons of news.
We should
course,
talk about the fact that Matt's not here.
Yes, we will.
Okay.
We've also Sorry, got loads of interrupt. News. We've got loads of news to get through because, of course, NAMM is but 2 weeks away and people are starting to release their new fun and exciting things, including a couple of major releases from some guitar companies. But first, yes, unfortunately, the plans were to be a full house, weren't they, for... the first podcast
Fuller House
of 2019. But Matt Knight recently exchanged his internet router for a potato, and so and we are finding out now that apparently that makes it slightly harder for him to log into the.
Apparently, you can make a clock out of one, but you cannot make a router.
I can only assume that he found his dial-up box from 1998 and has dialed into the internet from 1998. It sounded so bad. Yeah. And also,
he's just waiting for South Park Pictures to download.
He was so tired.
Yeah. I tell you what I was downloading in 1998 was I was going to kennyscrib.com, the website where someone drew wrestlers as South Park characters.
We've talked about this so many times.
Have we? What, on the podcast?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's a new year. It's a new year. And, you know, I'm here to talk about things again. Have you ever heard of this amp I really like? The Blues Junior.
I thought it was the Pro Junior these days.
I don't know what that is, mate, I'm afraid.
Not your power supply.
I tell you what, yeah. So the amount of people who over the last couple of weeks since when that episode of Gear of the Year came out and everyone...
What episode? Qualify it for new listeners.
I am getting to it.
Spoilers for Gear of the Year.
Spoilers for Gear of the Year, blah, 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 blah. When when I fought tooth and nail for the MXR ISO Brick Mini to like... do really well and give it a year. Everyone gave me so much smack. And I got like messages that I thought
they gave all the smack to Brenton.
there were like comments on the Facebook group, which I honestly thought were bordering on like personal insults.
Yes.
You people can say whatever you want about me. I don't care. I will just kick you out the group when you think you're safe. But loads of messages. And I was like, you know what? I don't care. I know what I said. I believe what I said. A couple of weeks later, all these MXR mini ISO bricks start turning up on boards. People saying, oh, actually, I'll tell you what, I think it was a good idea. That actually, yeah. Not a Hollywood idea, not glamorous, but it was worthwhile. Wasn't it, Joe? You agree with me, don't you?
I respect your right to an opinion, and I respect the democracy of the Guitar Nerds Gear of the Year system.
Good. You said when we were talking about your solo podcast.
That's what I said on the solo podcast. I respect
that. That doesn't go far enough as far as I'm concerned.
I said it was the right product for you and Mark to support.
That is so passe.
That's me being supportive of
the
democracy.
Right product for a couple of
middle age, middle class, middle sized pedalboard lads.
We're both younger than him.
That's true. No,
yeah. I am the oldest nerd. But yes. Anyway, yes. Moving on from that. We should mention before, because we should blast into some news.
There's loads of news, and we've just waffled about Bros and Kiss.
Any other bands you can think of that have only got four letters in a name? NOFX,
Gaga. We talked about Gaga.
It's a space there, though, isn't it?
Has Ben Affleck got a band?
That's not four letters.
You know, Gary Sinise is in a band.
I don't know who. Gary Sinise. Is that not how you pronounce his name?
Gary Sinise.
I have always called him Gary Sinise. As in the
I don't even know who this lad is.
Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant, the bad guy Sinise. From that Mel Gibson movie. Gary Sinise. I have always called him Gary Sinise. I really like him as well.
It's Gary Sinise.
Ransom, that was it. I really liked Gary Sinise in Ransom.
Gary Sinise's got a band.
Sorry, lads, I'm just going to have to leave. I've got a bit of a Sinise infection.
It's always a weird name. But I like...
Gary Sinise has
got
a band.
I like actors called Gary because I also really like Gary Busey.
Gary Busey. What's wrong with you?
That's just the joke.
Gary Sinise is in a band.
I can't get my head around that. Yeah.
Gary Sinise is in a band. You know he played Lieutenant Dan?
Yes.
Well, he plays in a band called the Lieutenant Dan Band.
Oh, that's great.
It's really good.
What an absolute hero.
Also, I watched a movie with Gary Busey in it recently.
I love Gary Busey.
I watched...
Predator 2, one of my favourite movies of all time.
Inland Empire, which is David Lynch.
Is Gary Busey in that?
Yeah. He plays the dad.
I need to watch that film.
He plays the dad. Also, Henry Rollins was in that movie.
No, he wasn't. Henry Rollins.
Yes, he was.
You're talking about a different film.
What did I say?
Inland Empire.
I meant Lost Highway.
Yeah.
Sorry, I meant Lost Highway, okay. Not Inland Empire.
I don't need to watch that again.
Well,
it's all right, that one.
It's good. I liked it.
Middling.
I thought it was good.
We've talked about more films than we talked about guitars. Goodness.
Yeah, let's pass on. Okay, so very briefly, because we need to get on into main podcast, but I've only spoken about this on the Patreon, we should mention that as of the end of January, I am leaving my job at GAK, and I will be taking on Guitar Nerds full time.
I can't believe he's done this.
I cannot believe you've done this.
I can't believe you guys talked me into doing this. You definitely did it whilst I was drunk. Vulnerable.
My one and only New Year's resolution for this year is to...
Stop this from happening.
No, I'm all for it happening. But my resolution is to make it difficult for you.
Yeah.
And that means when you're trying to get across an informative and concise podcast...
Yeah.
I'm going to change the subject as many times as possible.
You haven't even seen the obstacle course we set up in your office yet. It's amazing.
Yes, it's going to be fun. But yes, I have moved to a village, set up a little video recording studio. Not
officially
set up my
a village
office.
Idiot.
Great.
No, Joe, seriousness, it's very cool. It's very exciting. And, you know, just remember... You owe us money.
We should say that, you know, we're not ones to talk about the Patreon that much. You know, we generally don't talk about like how it funds.
I mean,
stuff.
We do talk about it a lot.
Well, we talk about it some at the beginning of the episode, and we talk about what it gets you in terms of what you get as like a subscriber, and we talk about at the end of the podcast what it gets you as a subscriber. But we don't often talk about what we actually spend the money on, and the answer generally is not a lot. Like,
well, it's nothing really. I mean, None of us have ever earned any money from Guitar Nerds.
In 4 years, it's coming up on.
We have covered our costs, which is fantastic. And, you know, that includes when Joe went to NAMM. Do we pay for that?
The drug deal that went bad.
Yes, that as well.
When we lost 10 grand in a briefcase.
Yeah, that sort of did happen, actually. But
we can't talk about that.
It's fine. But yeah, basically, we have none of us have ever made any money from guitar notes, and the reason for that is that we've kind of been saving the Patreon money for something, and we kind of weren't sure what it was. This had been on the cards for a while, maybe someone going full time. There had also been talk of us maybe getting a studio. That's what it says on the Patreon. That's what we've been carroting you along with.
Yeah, we might need to change that, because I mean, we sort of have got a studio.
We do now, yeah. But basically, Joe has decided that, you know, he's at a time in his life where he's, you know, he's ready to jump out in the big bad world all by himself.
I'm sort of only like half a disciplinary away from being sacked, so it's about time. I am.
And yeah, you and Emma have got a nice place now, and yes. You're a little bit out of town. You can play those Ashdown 6x10s.
I got a new Ashdown, actually.
Did you?
I got something smaller for home use. I got
You just moved out of central Brighton into somewhere where you can play bass loudly at home, and you've got something smaller.
Well, yeah, because I have an ABM 600, two 115 cabinets, and a CTM 300, which is a big valve head. Yeah. So I got the combo solid state version of that, the AAA. It's like a 100 watt 115 combo. Very good.
That's good.
But most crucially, it's making space for the awesome Guitar Nerd studio that is being set up.
Yeah. So let's talk a little about what you're actually going to do, because to be honest with you, I don't know. I don't know what you're going to spend your time doing, because there's only one podcast a week.
That is true. Yes, well, we are. Yes, we're going to be relaunching our YouTube channel, so we're going to have weekly YouTube content as well, which will consist of lots of informative nuggets of guitar information.
One nugget involved.
Great.
Poop nugget.
Yeah. So we are relaunching that, as well as like a load of additions to the podcast. Lots of additional stuff on the Patreon. There are going to be lots more mini series on there. But yes, the Instagram and the YouTube are going to be expanding the most, with weekly content on there, both in the form of top tens, history ofs, and hopefully later down the line a few sort of longer series documentary style pieces as well. But you know, you'll just have to wait and see at this stage, as we're sort of putting everything
can I put it forth that mod mode is
never happens.
I actually address mod mode on my solo episode on the Patreon. I spoke about how what a ridiculous idea it is to claim that you're going to do things and then not do them.
Well, yeah, but that's good. We've never had the facility to do that before, and now we do. We've got a bod who's on it full time.
Absolutely, we do. Anyway, on that note,
well, I was going to say, the long and short of it is, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while and you want more Guitar Nerd stuff, more ridiculousness, we now kind of have the capacity to do more stuff, which we've never had before. And if you want to support that in some way, obviously Patreon is a way to do that. Even at the $1 tier, if you just want to say, I've been listening to this for a while, I like what you do, and I want to see more stuff on the YouTube or the Instagram that isn't necessarily behind the Patreon wall, you can support at the $1 tier, and that will go some way to us like paying Joe in a sort of, you know, like Reek from Game of Thrones. sort of that sort of relationship.
Yeah, I mean,
Jesus.
I think it's, you know, we're certainly not going to like go on about this forever and ever, but this is kind of a weird crucial time, I guess, for Guitar Nerds.
It's Guitar Nerds 2.0.
It kind of is, yeah. And it's you know, it's an experiment that we're giving a go. Joe is going to go full time and see if it can, you know, we've got a pool of money saved up from, you know, people who have been supporting us through Patreon and through some ad money that we've got through various avenues throughout the year, you know, normally by you know, taking backhanders to talk about products that we really like, that sort of stuff, you know,
power supplies,
small valve amps, that sort of thing. But yeah, if you have ever considered supporting the podcast financially, now would be a good time to do it, and just give it a go, you know, do a dollar and see if that's cool, and or if you want to check out the Patreon episodes, do $5 and see if that's cool. But if you're not into it, that's also fine. We don't, you know, we just appreciate the fact that everybody listens. But yeah, that is the last we will
that's a sales pitch done.
It was like a mid-roll ad.
Yeah, that was kind of a bit mid-rolly. Let's talk about some pre-NAMM news. news.
First up, pre-NAMM news.
I think you should say first up again because you went first up.
First up.
You did it again. Literally
first
did.
First up. First up, pre-NAMM news. Ibanez have announced their full new lineup for 2019. 134-ish guitars.
No
I know
one needs that,
that
many.
Because I've been creating the blooming listings at GAC. But that is less than they have ever released before. This is a streamlined...
134 models.
Does it? But it's like... Very it's, streamlined. It's not that many models,
it's
is
colours,
it?
It's colours,
no, because there's colour options within that. But but the cool thing is, I think Ibanez released lots of stuff, and we tend not to speak about them because we tend to be slightly more traditionally focused, and certainly over recent times, Ibanez have been focusing on a lot of their sort of spalted super strats. Fan fretted stuff has become very popular for them. And of course, last year, the introduction of the AZs, or AZs. I expected to see an expansion in the AZ series, which is not what they've
You're right, Joe.
You've got a bit of a gas going on.
Yeah, a bit gassy.
A little windy pops.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Can I just say, before you go any further, we say it's slimmed down. They still launched 60... Yes, 60 new models.
60 new,
in the run-up to NAMM.
Yeah, which is colossal. But they always do. They always release those. What I thought was interesting is so when I found out that Ibanez were releasing all their new models, they have a warehouse up in Birmingham where their UK distributor stocks all their stuff. So I spoke to them, arranged for us to go up, for GAK to go up, and for us to shoot some videos on all the new models. So I immediately contacted our resident metal guitarist, a guy called Adam Bell, and got him to come up with us, only to find out when we got there that at least 60% of the guitars, maybe higher, were new models from their Artcore series. And this must be the jazziest year for Ibanez guitars ever. And I posted some on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group, but the most exciting ones for me were their AS63 model guitars, which are their entry-level 335 style, sort of dot style hollow bodies that they've released in coral pink, a shell pink colour, a mint blue,
that
a sea foam
so
green, and a twilight orange, which is kind of a hot
orange.
I don't know how to describe it, but they're...
Oh, imagine eating a hot orange.
But there are
some cloves in it.
That'd be horrible.
We just mull it over, mate.
Anyway.
But they're £319, which is an incredible price point. Admittedly, they have pickups that I don't think ever suit hollow body guitars. They have those sort of exposed
open coil
humbuckers. Never a fan of those on a traditional guitar, but you can still change those out. And for £319, this is incredible. We're talking about a shell pink 335 for £300, and it comes with Ibanez's build quality, which exists even at their sort of most entry level of instruments. So I thought they were absolutely fantastic. And then it didn't even finish there. Sort of moving up the range, they introduced 12-string versions of those guitars, also available in mint colours. They introduced one with a Bigsby. And then in the series above that, which was the 73, the AS73 series, they'd introduced, first of all, proper sort of chrome-covered humbuckers, but dipped finishes, like a dipped green that goes from like a slime green to a sort of British racing green. And a dipped blue that goes from sort of a Pelham to a royal blue, like the azure blue and green valley gradation is what they call those. But and they have block inlays as well. Absolutely fantastic. £450.
Yeah,
this is wicked. This is cool stuff that Ibanez are doing. Not stuff that I'd sort of. Well, I know if you like modern guitars, I'm sure you normally do like Ibanez stuff. But for me, I was like, oh, this is absolutely banging. And then you move up again, and they've introduced this Expressionist series, the AS93, which they're doing. They're doing an ebony bodied one, and they're doing a zebra wood topped version with the covered humbuckers, block inlays, torque guard, gold hardware. They look so regal. They look like, you know, if Gibson were to do this same thing, I appreciate it. Like, if you know, if anyone else was to do this sort of thing, it would be a couple of grand. I appreciate that the parts are cheaper on this, but I mean, absolutely banging, sort of incredibly cool looking instruments for
you know, £599. They also released like a cool, you know, we don't talk about acoustics too much on this podcast, but they released a whole range of acoustics that all look great. Like,
can we talk about the one that
natural finish maple necked acoustics parlors? What
can we talk about the one that got released today?
Yes. So this
this one seems to be a little bit outside of the rest of the releases, because this one came out today, whereas the rest of the stuff came out a couple of days ago. This is the Ibanez Altstar. The model is the ALT30, I believe. So basically, it looks like a regular sort of single cut. Acoustic, like a kind of slope shoulder thing with a single cut. The first thing you notice is that the sound hole is not round. It is kind of a weird sort of offset egg shape, which is kind of odd. And then the next thing you notice is it's got like an RG neck and headstock on it. So you've got
an RG neck and headstock.
Yeah, so RG headstock with a kind of vintage Ibanez logo. You've got shark fin inlays. You've got binding on there. Just looking at it,
This doesn't sound like a good idea.
15.7 inch radius, so incredibly flat. And you've got joins at the 16th fret as well, so you've got incredible upper fret access.
just what you need when you're playing Blackbird.
Like a bit of a ridiculous thing, but price-wise, $299, so probably the same roughly in pounds. And it comes in a sort of pink burst, charcoal, the regular sunburst, and like a blue burst. In fact, I've got the names here: indigo blue burst, natural brown burst, red coral sunburst, and transparent coal burst. All matching headstock, so you know, similar to a regular RG. They've got an onboard preamp as well, so yeah, for plugging in and stuff, and tuner and stuff built in. So basically a very, very modern acoustic. But alongside that as well, Joe, I don't know if you picked up on this, but they've also released a bunch of signature models as well. And you were saying that they're kind of deviating from the regular RG pointiness that you would expect from Ibanez.
Yeah.
They have released basically a bunch of signature models based on kind of the AZ concept. So update to the Andy Timmons, the ATZ100 Andy Timmons, which basically takes the spec from the old Andy Timmons guitar and kind of plonks it on the AZ body and
yeah,
neck.
That one sort of passed me by. I wasn't that impressed by that.
Well, I mean, it just is what it is. You know, he's had that same guitar for ages. It's got those DiMarzio Cruiser pickups in it, which are like a railed strap pickup. And it's just it looks like a Sunburst strap, basically. Mm-hmm. But then what's curious to me is that they've released a bunch of new signature models, but they are basically the AZ model with some different spec. So we've got the EH10 Eric Hansel, which is basically in like a kind of grey colour. Two pickup on this one, humbucker in the bridge and tele pickup in the neck. So Seymour Duncan Hyperion in the bridge and then an Alnico 2 Pro in the neck. Looks kind of, I mean, it's got coil tap as well, so I guess you can tap the... Or it's got a mini toggle, which I expect is a coil tap.
Yeah.
Coil split. So, you know, very traditional, essentially.
Eric Hansel is the Chon guitarist. So one of the first people to get
it.
Chon are a band. They
really?
Yeah, they had a...
I thought it was that film with Jeff Bridges.
they had the first prototypes of the AZ.
Tron.
It was a Tron.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the men who stare at goats.
No. Jeff Bridges isn't in that, is he?
Maybe not.
So Chon are like a math rock band, and they had the very first prototypes of the AZ. They were playing those early on.
I've just noticed. So the second signature model, or the third signature model we've talked about, is the MAR10. Belongs to a guitar player called Mario Camarena. Oh, Mario Camarena! sounds like Macarena, doesn't it?
Maybe in your head.
Who is also a guitarist from Chon.
Fine. So here's...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
His the model number on that is fantastic. The model number on that is the MAR10.
So it looks like it says.
So it looks like Mario. Mar-10.
Oh
no, not Mar-10. Mario.
Oh, I see.
Mario.
Oh, MAR10.
What's your name, Luigi?
So this one is. Again, it's on that same body shape. This one, two single coils and a humbucker. That kind of recessed trim that they've got, so it's got kind of up and down movement. But it is in, if they don't list the colour here, actually, but it's in kind of like a pink sparkle, pinky purple sparkle, would you say?
Very tasteful.
It looks amazing.
More purpley than pink.
Yeah. Moving
Should we
on.
Say mauve?
Yeah, sort of mauve-ish. SLM10, Scott LePage.
Scott LePage.
Don't know how you pronounce it. But again, basically the same guitar, two single coils and humbucker. Are they the same pickups? No. So the Mario Camarena has three Hyperions, Seymour Duncan, and the LePage has DiMarzio, True Velvets, and an SLM original. And with gold hardware, this is on like a red flame top, I guess. And then finally, the THBB10, Tim Henson. And he's got, again, very similar guitar. It's two Tele pickups this time and a mini humbucker.
Did he make the Muppets?
Tim Henson. So this one's got two Tele pickups and a mini humbucker in the bridge. No coil split this time. Gold hardware on black. So basically, it's kind of like they've just released the one body shape and they've gone to these artists and gone, do with it what you want. And I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's great. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, these all look really good. No idea on pricing yet. For me, the one that wins it is the Mario Camarena.
The Mar-10,
indeed. Because it's, you know, it's kind of pink and it's got the best spec. It's got a humbucker and two single coils.
Perfect. Yeah. Awesome. So on the bass front in the Ibanez lineup, there have been some cool new additions. But most exciting is a blast from the past that has returned with a new name. They have introduced the Affirmer bass.
Oh, yeah, I saw these.
Yeah. Do you remember what the Affirmer bass used to be?
No. I do.
So it's a very particular body shape, the Affirmer. It didn't used to be called the Affirmer, and it didn't used to be made from wood. And we've spoken about it on the podcast a lot. In fact, a listener even sent us one of these instruments. After I spoke about it.
It's in the Guitar Nerd stock, Jay. You should have seen it.
The Ergodyne. Do you remember that famous Ibanez Ergodyne bass that was made out of resin?
Yeah. We've got one in blue.
We've got a blue one of those.
I don't know. Is it your house? I don't know where
it is. It's in my house, yeah. In the guitar room. But yes, they have released the Affirmer, which are wooden now versions of the old Ergodyne, featuring a big old Bartolini pickup and a built-in thumb rest, so a recessed into the body thumb rest, and a piezo as well. Still has Ibanez. Do you remember the old Ergodynes used to have, because the headstock's so tiny, would have the Ibanez logo on the body beneath the pickup.
Yeah.
But of course, that was just drawn on because it was resin, you know, painted on.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they've gone for like an abalone inlay sort of in the middle of the body. I mean, these are the weirdest things. They did sound great, but I just, why would you reintroduce a body shape that was so universally unpopular?
Yeah, it's very weird. It's very weird. I just Googled Ergodyne, Ibanez Ergodyne, and one that I'd completely forgotten about, the EDC 700, which is the one that looks a bit like a kind of, imagine if you like, if you got a suite that was in the shape of a Music Man stingray and you sort of like put it the sweet in your mouth for a bit and then like came out, that's roughly what it would look like.
I think it looks halfway between such a weird, it looks like if Ibanez made a grabber or a ripper.
Yeah. Or a dinner plate with a neck on it.
Okay. Yeah, it was weird. It was a real weird time for Ibanez back then. They were smoking the crack. But
oh my gosh.
We have to make it clear for legal reasons, Ibanez were not smoking the crack.
But nonetheless, a welcome addition to the lineup, the new Affirma bass series, very premium indeed. But moving on from that, are there any other key models I think we should point out? I think we focused on all the trad ones really. They've introduced a 9-string.
Oh dear.
Oh yeah. There's a 9-string that features the sort of EMG 909s, probably the only pickup you can get for a 9-string. So
I saw that they've also, last year they did the RG550s. They've also now done the RG550DX, which is the Rosewood neck version.
Yeah, that's pretty Rosewood cool.
Board
there's,
version.
There's a new version of the Mini Paul Gilbert, now in mint green.
Brilliant. Just what I always wanted.
Exactly the same. Still can't keep it in tune because it's so small. Yeah.
I bet you tune it to A, don't you?
Yeah, tune it up to A.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to do that.
Right.
Yeah. And they've also introduced this new series called the Axion Label. You know, you have Iron Label,
yeah,
and what have you. Axion Label seems to be their new thing, and they're like kind of premium Iron Label, but really retaining an excellent price point. So all sitting around the £1,000 price mark, but with all these like lovely premium features that Ibanez managed to sort of fit in on guitars that most people can't. So they have won the very attractively named RGA 61AL Axion Label, where just as a standard model for £1,000 features those multicolored sort of multi-foil pickup. I've completely forgotten the brand of pickup.
I just watched a man's head explode live in front of me.
Bare knuckles. Those multi-foil bare knuckle, yes, humbuckers, which is super cool. And they're now doing them in this new sort of oiled net finish. So it's almost like a glossy wood,
okay,
on the back of the neck, whereas before they would be completely satin.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is lovely. But yeah, really nice to see this new Axion series kind of... I really think there's something in there for sort of a lot of modern players who would be looking for something more premium for around the £1,000 price mark. So very cool indeed. Moving on from Ibanez, Jay Cross, one of Ibanez's closest rivals, ESP, have also announced their 2019 lineup.
There's so many guitars here. So many guitars here that there's simply no way I can get through all of them. So I'm going to talk about a couple of the real gems that are there. And I think it's maybe worth doing something with the notes later. Talking about, because it's just so, there's so many guitars here. We won't get through them all. It's bonkers. So the one in particular that I'd like to, a couple in particular I'd like to highlight is... the Reba Mayers.
Yes.
So Reba Mayers, the RM600,
so weird.
It's kind of an offset. It's like the Viper shape, which is kind of like offset an offset SG. But this has got a reverse LTD headstock, single.
So the six in a row headstock.
Yeah, single humbucker. And it's in a kind of granite esque stone finish.
Looks so good.
It looks really good. It looks really, really good. And one thing that I haven't realized is this is ESP's first signature model for a woman, which is really cool.
Oh, really?
Ah. So yeah, Reba Mayers plays in the band Code Orange,
who
put out one of my favorite records of last year, 2017. And they were, I think they were nominated. I think they were nominated for a Grammy for that record, which is really mad because they're just like this hardcore band. But yeah, really, really cool. Really great looking guitar. Definitely recommend checking that out. There's a new George Lynch. You know,
exactly what you expect.
Exactly what you expect. And another one that I think is really cool is the new...
for people who aren't aware, the George Lynch is like a tiger stripe.
Yeah. It's kind of like a strat style guitar. Yeah, single humbucker and a Floyd. Yeah, awesome. And matching headstock. That's correct. Matching headstock for a guitar in a tiger stripe finish. Very, very weird. The new Stephen Carpenter is fantastic. Stephen Carpenter of Deftones, baritone 7-string. It's 27-inch. That would be baritone.
He's had those for quite a while.
He's had a number of different baritones, a number of different guitars from ESP and LTD over the years. There was a really cool Telecaster style guitar, which he had for a while in like a sparkly green, which was lovely.
Green. I loved that.
You could get a baritone 7 version of that.
That was only available baritone.
Yes, it was, yeah. He also did an 8... He's had an 8-string in the
baritone.
Past. I assume that wasn't baritone. Sure. I'm not sure. But this one is fantastic. This is... this one's purple, which is just absolutely wonderful. And it's just single pickup, which I don't think he's done before in anything other than the Tele-style guitar. Think there's been single pickup before. There was... And actually, maybe the Tele was only available... Because it was weird. You had, like, a pickup in the bridge and then one in the middle.
There's definitely been single coil single pickup Stephen Carpenter.
Have there?
Yeah.
Okay.
He also had a 3 pickup.
Yes.
With 2 humbuckers and an angled single
coil.
Yeah,
really weird. Really weird. But the that is a really, really fantastic looking guitar. It's got the Fishman Fluence pickup in.
Which he's been rocking on the on those Tele style.
Yeah, and this actually says a Fishman Fluence SRC, which I assume means it's a signature version of his own it's his own signature version of those pickups. So yeah, some really, really cool stuff. As Ibanez does every year, ESP just releases so many guitars. We haven't seen the Schecter launch yet, I don't think, but similarly
the came out at the end of last year, I think. We talked about them because they did a lot of dipped finishes.
Okay.
Can I point out that Ken Susie, or Susie, I don't know how you pronounce his name, but Ken Susie KSM6,
okay,
which is basically like a kind of super strat style, I guess, reverse headstock.
Green one.
No, this is Silver Sparkle. Ooh. With the Fluence pickups, concentric pots, so I'm guessing volume and tone for each, and a three-way selector, and an Evertune bridge, and it looks wicked. If you're into that kind of minimalist,
that's like all the mod cons.
Yeah,
right,
basically.
There.
Well, if you're
Fluence,
like
Fluence and an Evertune,
I guess if you're into like electrical guitar company and things like that, it kind of looks like that because everything on it is silver and like flashy and bling. So, yeah. But not bling in like gold way, in like a good way. So that looks really good. I don't know if you were going to talk about this, Jay, but also the new Bill Kelleher Sparrowhawk.
Yeah, so I this obviously has passed me by because I had a quick look on the ESP website. I hadn't realised that Bill Kelleher was an ESP artist.
Yeah.
So who is he?
Bill Kelleher is from the band Mastodon.
Oh, right. Because this guitar is amazing.
So if you remember, Bill Kelleher had a signature Les Paul in a kind of sparkly sunburst at one point. And it was really, really cool. But he has now got a bunch of LTD guitars, which this one is kind of a RD style, but he's also had an Eclipse, so, you know, Les Paul style. But most of these are available left-handed, the Bill Kellers, which is something that I think is very cool. But for the first time, they have done this one available in black, and it looks very stylish.
Yeah.
Black with gold hardware and block inlays. Normally, as you know, we're not big fans of gold hardware, but I think when gold hardware is matched up against black guitars,
yeah,
it can look really, really classy.
Can I also point out the PS1000?
You
which is
point out whatever
part of
you
their
want, Mark.
X-Tone series, a guitar that they've done for ages, but the latest update, Purple Sparkle and 2 P90s,
oh,
and it
sounds
looks
like everything
so good. So the X-Tone stuff are there, like offset hollow bodies that they do.
It's just a bad name, isn't it?
And the logo looks bad.
They yeah.
Should, and, you know, yeah. The person
Ben Wyman's was an X-Tone.
Yeah, it was,
and that
yeah.
guitar looks so classy. Yeah, and then it's called an X-Tone. It just reeks of budget.
Yeah, and the logo looks bad on the headstock. But this purple sparkle looks immense. Looks so good. I guess if you were looking for something kind of versatile and hollow body that's not mega money, and you wanted something that looks incredible, PS1000 by LTD.
If you're ever creating a range of guitars and you're thinking of using the letter X
or tone,
or the letter Z, and going to use a word such as tone, or like a similar word to that, like a guitar word and like a letter that you think sounds sort of, you know, that sort of radioactive-y sort of, it's like just remember that the Matrix isn't cool anymore.
Matrix 1 and 2 still good. 2 is the best one.
Just don't do it.
So
no one's watching the Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles anymore.
Yeah, they are. They're two new films recently.
Ninja Turtles. We've gone through this before, I think, haven't we? Mark's Leonardo.
Yeah.
Matt's Donatello, and then I think
Michelangelo.
Aren't yeah, you're the party dude, and I was
you're the emo
rude.
One. Yeah. The emo one, Raphael.
He wasn't the emo.
He was really emo. Yeah. He was well emo.
He's the one in the movie, the first film. He like goes
he's
off.
Grumpy.
He basically has a like an emo moment.
Oh, that is me. Yeah. That is me. So the other one that I really want to point out very briefly is the M1000 multiscale, which is LTD's first 6-string. Multiscale. They've done a 7 and they've done an 8 before.
That actually looks really good.
Yeah, it does look good. It looks, I tell you what it reminds me of is the, now I'm going to stumble over this, the Ibanez.
I mean, I'll tell you what that
721?
Looks like.
That
looks like an Ormsby hype.
Yeah, it really does look very much like an Ormsby guitar.
The RG721, which was a range of guitars that I really, really loved when they came out when we were working at GAC. Just a kind of classy looking, fairly plain. I mean, this has got a very figured top, but it's not too outlandish, which is
no,
something
it's
that
quite
I,
tasteful.
It is, yeah, and it's very cool. And you know, obviously this is an LTD, and because it's fairly plain, it is it's a relatively affordable multi-scale guitar, which I think is something that is very cool. So yeah, 26.5 to 25.5 scale with Seymour Duncan Nazguls. So yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, that is super cool.
Yeah, so like I say...
How much are
they?
It doesn't say.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they're that much. Yeah. However much do you think they are, that is what they are.
Wonderful.
Of course, loads of other stuff, a load of acoustics, which... loads of other stuff as well.
Just
so
metal brands don't make acoustics.
It's not that. It's just I don't know why you try and make your acoustics look metal. That's the problem.
At least Ibanez aren't doing that at all. The new line of Ibanez acoustics look fantastic.
They've just released
one
with an RG headstock. The most metal headstock.
The rest of them all look cool and retro. They were like parlor sized ones, like raw finishes, maple necks. They look like old sort of bluesy, play them on a train on the way to Louisiana sort of acoustics.
Talking about blues stuff, do you want me to talk about the
Supro
Blues Kick?
Yes, I was about to segue in myself, Mark Packham. Yes, Mark Packham, why don't you tell us about this cool new amp from Supro?
So this is the Supro...
I say boom, 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 let me hear you say Supro.
Supro. The Supro Blues King 12. You know, we've talked about how much the small 15-watt valve amp market is very competitive. Some obvious ones that kind of stand out, ones that we've stood behind for many years.
The
PV Classic 30.
Yeah. I thought you said 15-watt.
Yeah. The Blackstar Artist 15.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think it's time.
Looks incredible.
I think it's time for a new king of the small...
A new challenger enters the ring.
A new challenger has appeared. The Supro Blues King 12 is a 12-inch, 15-watt valve combo. Looks very, very retro. So it's got that kind of... that front where it's got a panel on the front and then kind of like...
So it looks like a radio.
A port for the speaker. Radio. Like an old radio, exactly that kind of thing. And then the grill cloth is in like the
an
kind of
old, old
small
wooden
port.
Radio.
12AX7s in there. And yeah, it just looks... 12AX7 and 6L6 in there. In terms of features, you've got a boost and you've also got gain switch on the front end. To give you a bit of tonal variety. You've got reverb built in. I believe it's actually a spring reverb, your analog spring. And you've got an effects loop. So offering something that certain small valve amps don't offer. I think these are going to be great. I've requested that we get one so we can have a listen to it. And I'm sure we'll report back in the next few weeks with how these stack up against the rest of the amps in that market, of which there are many.
I am excited. It looks fantastic. I love Supro. I love what they've done before. They've been firing on all cylinders recently.
Well, these are also not mega money, $599, so they slot right into that kind of into that bracket.
Blues Junior.
Yeah, I'd be very interested to see how they stack up with the rest of the amps at that kind of price point.
Super exciting indeed. Now, something that we'll just touch upon briefly, because as Marky pointed out before the podcast, these there aren't very many of these, and they're probably already all sold, aren't they?
I think there's a lot of interest in them.
So
and they're also not available in the UK.
Yeah, but you know, most people who listen to us are in America.
Are they?
Yeah. Have you seen our latest
stats?
Stop
talking about baked beans and EastEnders.
The Chicago Music Exchange have teamed up with...
What's that then?
It's a shop.
Oh, where is it?
You tell me. Somewhere in the Americas. Okay. I don't know. Brazil? Anyway, Chicago Music Exchange have collaborated with Gibson to release an exclusive range of Sugs, of SGs. That's right.
Sugs.
Didn't he sing it in the singer in Madness?
Yes. So Chicago Music Exchange have teamed up with Gibson and released probably the best looking SGs I've seen in a very, very long time. A range of awesome coloured, gorgeous SGs with torque guards, and they come in everything from TV yellow to shell pink, and includes such wonderful colours as British Racing Green and a lovely mint green and a lovely sonic blue. Why aren't Gibson just doing these?
Well, yeah.
Why is it taking a guitar shop to come on and sort of be like, yeah, just make your guitars look good, and then we'll probably sell them.
Yeah.
These look absolutely fantastic. What a wonderful range of guitars. I'm gutted that we can't get them. Chicago Music Exchange must be over the moon that they get to sell these, because these look completely perfect. It's everything I've ever wanted in an SG. The torque guard sets them off really beautifully with these sort of pastel colours. What a lovely range of guitars.
Yeah.
Just brief one on that. If you haven't seen them, listener, go and check them out, because they look absolutely fantastic. Jay Cross, tell us about Blackstar.
Blackstar, Joe Branton, have released three new amps this week, but it's three new amps with a twist. So this is the Studio 10 series of amps, which I actually think is a new series. I guess this falls kind of within the similar sort of... they're not as expensive as the Artist or Artisan range, but they are full valve. And the thing that separates out these three amps is each one comes with a different type of power valve. So you have the EL34s, you have a 6L6, both fairly standard in a 10 watt amp. And most surprisingly, and the one that I'm really keen to hear, is the KT88 Studio 10.
So each of these different valve setups, they also come in a different finish, each of them.
They do,
correct?
But I don't really care about that, because what I think is interesting is valve sounds, Joe. But seeing as you've touched on it, I suppose I should bring it up. And I'm trying to stall because I can't find a picture that shows which is which. let's have a quick look. So the EL34 is a black... Is black with
it's
like
the
white
simple black style finish,
white
yeah. White
trim,
piping.
White piping. The 6L6 is a kind of a cream amp with an oxblood grill, which looks very classy. Very,
that's the best
very
one.
Classy.
And sorry, what valve was that?
That's a 6L6.
Oh, of course it is. Oh, that's the best one. I'm all there.
And then the KT88 is in a British Racing Green.
But also the mesh is different from that. They've gone for a Vox style front.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now, I watched a video with these. Tom Quayle did a video for Dawson's with these, although only on the EL34 and 6L6. And they sounded great. It sounded really, really cool. The one I'm really keen to hear, as I say, is the KT88, partly because I'm really interested to see whether, like, how it works, apart from anything, because I think KT88s are really powerful valves.
Right. Yeah.
Really powerful, which is why that you normally only find them in sort of, you know, 100 watt plus amps. So I'm really keen to see how this works. I assume you'll get loads of extra headroom out of it. And in order to get it to break up, you're going to have to turn it pretty full on. But KT88s, I think, are great sounding valves. They have done a lot of good stuff with these on their modeling amps. The not the cheap ones, because I've got one of the cheap ID cores and it's really cool. But the model up from that, which was I can't remember what it was called. It was just
so I don't know.
I can't remember. I can't find what it was, but it allowed you to model different types of valves and stuff like that. And they had KT88s on there. So I can only assume that they would have done a good job with it. So really keen to see how this sounds. And I think it's cool. A concern I have is choosing a color for a valve type. I think that not wanting to draw too many parallels, but I think Marshall kind of suffered from that when they released the Astorias a few years ago, where it was okay, well, if you want this amp in blue, it comes in this valve loadout or whatever, and a lot of people said, well, actually what I want is that color and I don't care about the valves. And that I think is maybe somewhere where it could prove a little bit problematic. But great little series,
fantastic.
And keen to see whether they roll this out to some of their larger amps as well.
Do you know what I wish when Black Star made these cool looking traditional amps like the cream and oxblood, and like the British Racing Green with the Fox style front, I wish they wouldn't use their stupid logo in Tahoma font on the front, because it just ruins the whole thing. It's like, that's not a logo, guys. That's like a free font. That's just a free font. Like, just get a better font. Get a better font or use your logo. Like, they have that star. They used the star on the bass amp.
Yeah, that is weird.
Just use the bloody logo. Stop writing the word or get a better font.
But also, I think you need to bear in mind that... What? I'm just holding my mic.
I know. You're going to create...
I feel like Freddie Mercury now.
I don't know why you picked that up.
Jay suddenly decided to pick his mic in a Freddie Mercury style.
It's really weird. This is really unusual.
Live forever.
There's going to be so much like mic noise that I'm going to have to edit out.
That's all right. You're off tomorrow.
Full time now.
I'll put it down. Like I say, I'm doing whatever I can to make your life more difficult.
Wonderful.
So what were we talking about?
Black Star's logo.
I think it works on bass amps, because, you know, you think about other bass amps out there, the Ampeg logo is just a symbol, isn't it, really? Yeah. I'm not sure that just a star would work on a guitar amp. I think it needs to have a logo on it.
Just get a better font.
Just better font.
Okay, well, you know, that's his signature.
Yeah, sure.
That's his signature.
Super exciting, though.
Dave Blackstar. That's how he writes it. That's how he writes it.
It just came out like Tahoma.
Lackstar.
Barry Lackstar.
Anyway, we have run out of time.
I was going to say, I'm a bit bored of this now.
We've run out of time on this week's episode of the podcast. We've still got loads of stuff to talk about. Joyo have released an awesome new range of pedals. I'm really excited about the fact that Rotosound have released their competition to the paradigms of the string world with their new high-end range of strings. And most importantly, I really wanted to talk about the new Godin.
Les Paul.
You can't call it a Les Paul.
Sorry, it's not a Les Paul. LP style.
What do they call it?
The Summit Classic AE.
I wanted to talk about their new $3,000 Summit Classic AE, because that sounds...
It's not that much.
Summit Classic. So it's Summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, Classic, C-L-A-S-S-I-T.
Oh, I thought you meant something classic.
No, that's exactly my point.
But you were saying it in sort of a London...
No, that's exactly the point, is the Summit Classic, where maybe if you're from Montreal, Quebec, Canada... You wouldn't say it like
someone. I just imagine someone bursting into a room and going, "Lads, don't do any of those modern ones. Do something classic."
Okay,
you've got it.
Anyway,
Gordon Odin.
That is it for the first episode of 2019 Guitar Nerds, but we will be continuing over on the Patreon episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast, where, as we've mentioned, for as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar
Joey
Nerds
said
podcast.
We weren't going to talk about Patreon anymore.
Oh, yeah, sorry. $1 a month gets you the regular
just
episode.
Finish it in the normal way.
Okay, $5 a month gets you an extra half an hour every week, plus access to bonus features and miniseries. And $10 a month makes you one of our executive backers, granting you access to everything already mentioned, plus the prestigious honour of having your name read out in one breath by me.
You need some backup. It's been a while since I've done this. It's
been a while.
Look at this photograph.
What are you saying? I don't know what he's doing.
I'm waiting for you to do the
thing.
All
right, okay, fine. 14. Stephen Hench, Duncan Watson, Adrian Day, Ethan Jebediah Martyr, Ken Sayer, Matthew King, Stephen Conrady, Gordon G, Richard III, Mary Peters, Sean Armour, Christoph Woodward Jefferson, Robert Cousins, Rob Cruz, Scott Hamilton, Tucker Upton, Arnie Cooper, Nate Nager, Rob Edwards, Christoph Ratchett, Robbie Carter Grant, Matt Roberts, Steve Lee, Henry James Baker, Ryan McDermott, Montoya, Blake Wyland, Aaron Sherman, Jay Quay, Matt Bellamy, Martin Cliff, Scott Kennedy, Crystal Lucid, Robert Smith, Hans Ames, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Robin Aldrich, Steve Markham, Mark Cross, Carlos Rancher, Andy McKenzie, Brad Rage, Vlad Thomas, Laurie Anstis, Paul Corrigan, Will Dye, Mooka, and Will Thompson, Connor, and Sven.
Look at this photograph.
I made it.
You did it. Only just, though.
There's another name. Anyway.
Look at this graph.
There you have it. You can follow us all on Twitter and Instagram at Guitar Nerds or on YouTube at Guitar Nerds Videos. You can even visit our website, guitarnerds.net, where all our various channels are displayed in all of their glory. And you can even purchase Guitar Nerds merchandise and become a true member of the club. That's it from us for this week. We'll catch you next time for some more guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Look at this graph.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.